I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. And the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of Council are present.
Thank you. Just a few very brief announcements. Yesterday afternoon, along with the Mayor of Welland and a representative from the Regional Municipality of Niagara, had the opportunity to meet with the Minister of Transportation to talk about the Niagara East Transportation Corridor, which, as you know, runs through part of our industrial park in Stevensville. Runs through a large portion of the Welland Industrial Park on Highway 140. And the opportunity to speak to the minister was really to highlight the significant impact of this broad transportation corridor at this point in time and its impacts on the industrial lands or employment lands in Fort Erie and in Welland. So we did request that the ministry proceed with its phase two assessment, which would permit it to narrow the corridor. We also requested that the corridor in the area of our industrial park be shifted to the north. That's something that we've been working on, as you all know, and we have brought that as well to the attention of the region, which has been very, very cooperative. The regional staff put together the material that we filed with the minister in advance, and I thought it was a very productive, although brief, meeting. The town of Fort Erie hockey team and second in the in its group at the Mayor's Cup hockey tournament in Port Colborne. They were beaten by a very talented team from Welland. I'm sure that they must have had a number of ringers team. It was apparently the town was leading 4-2 with about 3 or 4 minutes to go, and they lost the game 5-4. So I wish I'd have been there to give them some of the old tricks that I knew, like throwing the puck over the glass or that type of thing. But in any event, I want to congratulate them. A number of municipal employees and firefighters made up the team. They had 4 games that they played over the weekend, and a commitment for them on the weekend, and they certainly did Fort Erie proud. Next year, I'm confident that they'll be able to win that Mayor's Cup. I also wanted to point out that the Greater Fort Erie Arts Council annual general meeting is being held this Thursday starting at 6 o'clock at the old fire station number 2. And as I said, the door is open at 6, but I understand that the meeting will be called to order at 7 p.m. And then finally, I wanted to recognize, out of particulars, but I wanted to recognize the firefighters and the emergency responders and some individuals who assisted in a boating incident that occurred on Saturday afternoon around 3:30. Boat capsized in the Niagara River. The water temperature is about 34 degrees. And fortunately, a number of people were able to respond, and the firefighters were able to get out quite quickly. They happened to be at the fire station on another matter and were able to respond very quickly. The two individuals were pulled out of the water. One of them was unconscious at the time. And had it not been for the individuals who were initially on the scene and noticed what had happened, the firefighters who responded and the other emergency responders, what was really calamitous could have turned into a great tragedy. So, Chief, I hope you'll pass on to your firefighters our appreciation for their quick response in turning a potential tragedy into nothing more than a very serious and scary event.
I will do that, Your Worship.
Thank you. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? If there are none, then there are some public notices with respect to upcoming matters. The first has to do with the appointments to fill vacancies on committees. The current vacancies are on the Crystal Beach Business Improvement Area Board of Management, the Fort Erie Environmental Advisory Committee, the Museum and Cultural Heritage Advisory Committee, and the deadline for applying for membership in any of those is on February the 24th, which is this Wednesday? Yes, this Wednesday at 4 p.m., and you would apply to the clerk of the town of Fort Erie. Second item has to do with an open house regarding the town-initiated zoning bylaw amendment for 4152 Erie Road, which is the northeast parking lot at Bay Beach. So that's just northeast from the beach itself. And that is to take place this Thursday as well, February the 25th, from 5 to 6 p.m. in the Town Hall atrium. There will also be a public meeting with respect to that matter in the Town Hall in this chamber on March the 7th, 2016, at 6 p.m. And finally, there's a public meeting with respect to the plan of subdivision and zoning bylaw amendment for the Village Creek Phase 3 on Monday, March 7th, 2016, at 6 p.m. in the council chamber here at the Town Hall. And an information report will be available on that on Wednesday, March 2nd, at 5 p.m. I did want to also mention that it's nice to see the former town planner here, who will be making a delegation, Reno Mastacci. I see you looking around, a little different perspective than you used to have, but we look forward to your presentation later this evening. So that takes us to public meetings, and we do have a public meeting with respect to food trucks or refreshment vehicles. And council will be considering expanding business licensing to allow more food trucks to operate throughout the town. So this will be an opportunity for individuals to provide input to council or their comments. We have received two written representations, one from the Crystal Beach Business Improvement Area that was circulated by email to members of council, and also one from the individual who currently has a food truck at the Bay Beach area, and again, that was circulated by members of council. Madam Clerk, do we have any member of staff who's going to be making a presentation?
No, we don't, Your Worship.
All right. So then this is an opportunity for individuals who wish to address council on whether we should be expanding the business licensing in the town of Fort Erie to allow more food trucks to operate areas throughout the town. Anyone wish to speak? Yes, please come forward, sir. Could you provide us with your name and address for the record, please?
My name is Kyle Gray, 375 Bowen Road. Last May, I believe, I sat down with five of the council members. I didn't get to meet Mr. I had a permit for a food truck at the No Frills parking lot, but it was only for 1 year.
Thank you. It was only for 1 year till December 31st. Some financial issues didn't allow me to get my truck up and running. I got some more information to hopefully change the bylaw for good. I brought the three closest municipalities' bylaws, which I could send copies to all council members if they please, which there isn't restrictions on how many permits there actually are. There's just, as long as you follow the bylaws, such as you have to be this many feet away from a restaurant and whatnot, and as long as you have your TSSA and NFPA 96 regulations that you get your permit for paying for it. I thought there was a good point in the Niagara Falls bylaw that point 10, it says the council may, by resolution, regulate the number of licenses to be issued to operators or refreshment vehicles from time to time. So saying the town does get overran by these refreshment vehicles, if you do expand the bylaw, they could eventually put a cap on it themselves, saying there is too many refreshment vehicles. That's really all I have to say.
Thank you. If you could provide that information to us to give to the clerk, then the clerk can circulate that, and she'll also provide that to the planning department, which will be dealing with this issue.
Okay.
So if you could perhaps pass that up to Councillor Passero, he could move it over.
Okay. You're
welcome. Before you go, Mr. Gray, do any members of council have any questions of Mr. Gray? Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
For anyone else who wishes to address council on this issue, yes, please come forward, sir. Your name and address for the record, please.
Thank you. My name is Jim Fournier. My address is 17 Court Street, Fort Erie. Like Mr. Gray, last year I was issued a temporary food truck permit for the Rose Hill Auction location across the street. like Mr. Gray, I did not utilize that. I took a job as a food services manager for Broster Boys Chicken and Ribs Restaurant, the formerly Antonio's Pizza, and which has taken all of my time. As a matter of fact, I had to leave there this evening to appear before the council. I'm currently working as a food service manager there and looking, starting the process of building a restaurant, a brick and mortar restaurant, to complement the food truck and vice versa. As most probably the food truck operators here, we have a lot of money invested in our food trucks. We have a passion for it. I think there's a need for it. Porter is a growing community. Everyone, we don't have to go over the popularity. If you watch the Food Network, food trucks are everywhere. I don't have the documentation like Mr. Gray does, but we do know that certain municipalities have open food trucks. They can go where they want, when they want, and then there's others that are bound by municipal parking laws and things like that. I'd just like to say for the record, what I've said in the past is I've done a lot of food events in the region my food truck is popular, my food is good, and I'd like to be able to do it in my town. And I live here, I work here, and I think I should be able to practice my trade and operate my business here. And I'd like the same consideration we had last year to maybe even on a year-to-year basis to see how it goes. That's all I have to say.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Forney, for your comments. Before you go, do any members of council have any questions? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor Redekamp. Mr. Fournier, you had mentioned that you're looking to open up a bricks and mortar establishment to complement the food truck. Could you give us kind of, what is your comments on proximity food trucks to establishments? Is there something we should look at as far as distance separation? How do you see those two either complementing each other or not complementing each other?
Well, my understanding, as Mr. Gray was saying, in the city of Niagara Falls, in the core, you can't be 250 feet from a restaurant, and we all know that. If you're anywhere in the core of Niagara Falls, you're 250 feet from a restaurant. But outside the core, you're 1,000 feet from a brick-and-mortar restaurant. And I think that's fine. Personally, I believe that the more food places there are to eat, the more that it becomes a destination. So as far as proximity to licensed establishments, I would think that unless there's an actual pushback by brick-and-mortar restaurant owners that they don't want a food truck of 500 feet or 600 feet from them. Like if I own a seafood restaurant, what do I care if there's an ice cream truck around the corner? So it's that type of, it's all about proximity. That the brick and mortar restaurants do have a lot of, they own their buildings or they pay high leases and things like that. But I think the more you'll have food trucks allowed in the community, the more sophisticated food trucks you'll see. And they run into a lot of money, and it's not as though it's a trailer parked in a parking lot somewhere. My insurance rates are very high because it's a mechanized vehicle. I drive it all over the region. I pay a lot of money to own and operate a food truck, not to mention the challenges and the hard work that it takes to execute large events, the logistics of taking all of your equipment, like your auxiliary equipment, not just what's on the food truck, your convection ovens and things like that, to a 5-day event, for instance, that, or a 4-day event like Canal Days takes. We hire people. We spend a lot of money. We spend, you know, it's a legitimate, viable business. I don't think there should be any restrictions to it personally. And like I say, unless I'm in direct competition with somebody, if I'm selling the exact same product to somebody within, you know, a brick and mortar restaurant, first of all, I don't even want to be there. Like, you know, it's not like I want to encroach on someone's territory. If we're selling the same thing, it's, you're kind of canceling each other. So it's all about proximity. And I don't even think it's the case here in Fort Erie and other municipalities, not just Fort Erie, about proximity. It's maybe the stigma of food trucks. They used to be pretty beat up and pretty, you know, like you see lots of them that aren't 50, 60,000 and up vehicles that provide unique, like there's every type of food imaginable will serve food trucks in North America, and I think that it's a good thing.
Thank you for those comments.
Thank you.
Any other councillors?
Oh, excuse me.
Thank you very much, Mr. Forney, for your comments. For anyone else who wishes to address council this issue, please come forward, ma'am. Your name and address for the record, please.
Sandy Peterson, 94 Victoria Street, Port Colborne. I currently, with my partner Darlene Berger, own Quicksilver Catering, the local coffee truck in town. I have a couple questions for council. How many of these licenses are you planning to
Well, that hasn't been determined, and that's the whole purpose of this exercise, is for us to try to get some background, get some advice from our professional staff.
How many are there currently besides ours?
Mr. Brady, do you know how many there are, or Madam Clerk?
Three, Your Worship, if the presenter is referring to commercial site locations only, that would be a limitation of two across the whole town.
How many are there all together? I'm going to say less than half a dozen.
Around half a dozen.
And is ours is the only mobile one? Quick service.
Yes, there is also an ice cream traveling truck and Quicksilver Catering. Those are the only traveling ones that I'm aware of.
And do you know if you will issue any more mobile ones?
That's part and parcel of the exercise. Do you have a comment on that?
I do. It's a very small market in Fort Erie. We struggle to stay alive, and I wouldn't want more than, well, I wouldn't want any others, but that's not my choice, because it would, you know, it may kill us. It's just a really small market. I wouldn't want to see us really, you know, struggle to stay alive. It might kill us. It might kill the other person. It's just a really small market right now, and I don't see it really putting us, you know, we drive around every day from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon struggling. And if someone else was out there doing the same thing, a coffee truck, I wouldn't want to see a coffee truck. I can see what the roasted chicken guy, you know, he might have a different, say, market out there, but I don't want another coffee truck. If you can stop that from happening, that'd be great. But other than that, you know, the say is yours. But if you're looking at, I saw a plan out there for stationary things in Crystal Beach or something, if that's all you were thinking of, that'd be good. But mobile coffee trucks, no. So that's about all I've got to say.
Before you go, do any members of council have any questions? Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Ms. Peterson, just out of curiosity, you said that you have a mobile truck that visits various locations. Are those locations predetermined, or?
They are now. We can change them on a daily basis. We visit construction sites when they pop up. We go and see if they're interested in us coming on, and we kind of beg them, and if they are, we do. We do have a predetermined route every day, and then we look for new business as it happens. We do have licensing for Ridgeway, Stevensville, Fort Erie. If we can make it into Stevensville, we would do that, but our route right now is crowded, so we can't speed into Stevensville and make it back. But yeah, our route right now is full with Fort Erie, so it is a predetermined route as it stands.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you very much, Ms. Peterson. Anyone else who wishes to address council? Come forward, sir. And your full name, Mr. Bowles, and address.
Good evening, Jesse Bowles, 234 Ridge Road North. Here representing the Ridgeway BIA this evening. And a couple questions, asks of council to consider. I know with speaking with Al Stouffer last week regarding our festivals and events, it was mentioned that this bylaw was kind of on the table to be looked at and amended. And one thing I would ask council to look at is the effect that changing this is going to have on festival events, and if these limits and licensings and limitations are still going to be sort of waived when it comes to us hosting things like Ridge Fest, Fall Fest, our Spirit of Christmas Festival, and our new events that we're introducing this year to our schedule. And I'm sure all the other BIAs, including Bridgeburg with their Food Fest, would echo that. And then the other just question to council would be, I was a little confused with the last presenter in terms of how many licenses there are out there right now. Some being mobile, some being permanent. What are those numbers exactly now? What are those limits, and kind of what's the difference between the two?
Madam Clerk.
Through Your Worship, the only limitation as far as numbers apply to commercial locations, and that limit is two. The rest are open on an individual basis as the requests come forward. And right now there's about
6.
Okay, so those would then be the ones such as the coffee trucks that are going station to station. What exactly falls into then the commercial ones?
Through your worship, the two commercial locations are food trucks or refreshment vehicles at Canadian Tire on Garrison Road, and the other being Safari Niagara on Stevensville Road.
Okay, so the more semi-permanent ones then. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Before you go, any questions by members of council? Professor?
Thank you, Mr. Bowles. Will the Ridgeway BIA be putting together a formal submission or speaking about this at a further meeting and responding via comment, written comments?
If it's requested, absolutely.
Okay, I would appreciate that, and through to my colleague, Councillor Butler, as well. I know we've received something from the Crystal Beach BIA.
Okay.
And maybe based on comments you hear tonight, to take that back and give it some thought as the dialogue continues.
Yes, I'd be happy to put something into writing.
Thank you.
No one else? Thank you, Mr. Bowles.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to address council with respect to this issue? There are none, then I'm going to declare this public meeting closed. And that takes us to the regional councillor's report. Good evening, Councillor Annunziata.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, colleagues. Good evening, staff. People in the gallery that are quickly emptying out.
You're losing your audience.
Okay. No worries.
Some of the council.
Okay, I'm going to start off with the regional tax levy has been set. Some significant pieces of the policy include the passing on of a tax reduction to Fort Erie. Roughly for the residential tax portion, even though we set it at zero, once the CVA is calculated, residents in the town of Fort Erie will actually see a decrease of 1.67%. That's from the table that I have. Overall, it works out to a decrease of 0.66%, and I don't know if Mr. Jansen wants to comment on that, but I thought it was significant to highlight that particular aspect of the tax levy that the region just passed on. As well, there are some significant tax reductions. If you are a property owner that owns property in a certain subclass of property, for example, commercial excessive will see a 30% reduction, commercial vacant we'll see a 30% reduction as well. As well, industrial excessive will see a 35% reduction, and industrial vacant will see a 35% reduction as well. And as far as farmland awaiting development, there's a 25% reduction as well. Good news on the tax front in setting those tax levies. A AA rating from Standard & Poor's with respect to the bond rating agency, and actually indicated that the region could have received an even stronger rating if it had demonstrated significant and sustained economic improvement through healthier growth in population and household income, which is probably the perfect segue to why Mr. Mustachi is here to present the strategic plan for Niagara 2041. As well, we look at alternative service deliveries with respect to our long-term care homes. Now, specifically, the Deloitte report is going to be released sometime this week, and it speaks specifically to the redevelopment of our three long-term care facilities, Lynn Haven in St. Catharines, Upper Canada Lodge in Niagara-on-the-Lake, and Gilmore Lodge right here in Fort Erie. Now, we will explore which model of delivery is most effective in providing cost certainty to taxpayers. That will help share in the risk of the initial capital expenditure, as well as maintenance agreements going forward. Overall, making sure that we ensure quality and excellence as the cornerstones of the operations of all these facilities. So a number of combinations exist within a contemplated public-private partnership. We'll be going forward with some of those discussions. The good news is there is a very, very robust public consultation process going on right now. So there's some engagement and some public awareness sessions in play right now. Some of you might have noticed the information article in the Local Times review this past week. We will be engaging in telephone surveys, public outreach, and website updates as far as the importance of long-term care facilities, as far as what does the public see as far as important to them if they were to have a loved one in one of those facilities. And out of that, we have just about to strike a committee for an alternative service delivery for our regional housing. So basically following the same template, we will set the terms of reference, and we will hopefully address some of the issues we're facing with our regional housing right now, How do we get those thousands of people off that waiting list, and how we move forward with either it's new construction or a rejigging of our metrics when it comes to our Niagara Regional Housing. As well, we've reached the final stages of providing feedback on policy planning updates. You're very familiar with some of my comments to council. To date, the province asked municipalities and stakeholders to comment on the escarpment plan, the Oak Ridges Moraine Plan, the Greenbelt Plan, Places to Grow, and as well as the Conservation Act. So out of those five, all five of those will affect Niagara in some way, but two of those specific plans will have a direct effect and impact on Fort Erie, specifically Places to Grow and the Conservation Act. So as always, either through one-on-one or through consultation, we've asked the province to allow some flexibility in some of those planning policy decisions, to actually recognize the uniqueness in Fort Erie and throughout Niagara, and to actually give us the autonomy to choose our own course of action when we do face those challenges. So I think it's important that we address those concerns, and hopefully the province will listen. I think the last set of feedback will be closer in the later part of the year, and we'll actually have a definitive plan going forward as far as any changes to those specific policy acts. I had the great opportunity today to visit Brock University, and I just wanted to share some of my tour today. Just if you've never researched as far as what Brock University is all about right now, I encourage every member of council to go check it out. I toured the BioLink Center, and it is just an incredible place for the incubation of entrepreneurs, for research and science, for health promotion throughout Niagara. And I was very curious to see the latest strain of the Zika virus. It's under some very, very, strict guidelines as far as how they preserve it, but that arrived about 3 days ago. And Brock University is taking the lead. They're being a global leader as far as assessing what they can do to actually find an answer or limit the spread of the Zika virus. So that was very, very impressive. As a conservation authority, I'll fill you in on some of the things that we're doing there. We're still engaged in well and flood plain mapping. We're having stakeholder meetings. We had our second one last week in Welland, and incredibly responsive. They're packing the room, and people want to know how the new floodplain mapping are going to affect their properties. So that's great engagement as well. And as well, we're still getting feedback with respect to the province's idea of biodiversity offsetting. And again, I'll make it perfectly clear. This wasn't something that was floated up by the Conservation Authority. It was a provincial mandate, and they're asking all conservation authorities, 30-some-odd conservation authorities throughout Ontario, to provide comment whether or not biodiversity offsetting is feasible, whether or not it's realistic, and once we have the science to back up whether or not it's possible here in Niagara, we'll pass those comments on to the province. I'll open it up to questions or comments.
Thank you, Councillor Nunziata. Do any members of council have any questions? There being none, thank you very much. That then gets us to presentations and delegations. And the first delegation, and I apologize, Mr. Mastacci, for you having to wait. I know you've been here on many occasions in the past to hours way beyond 6:29. So I know that you'll just be relaxed. Mr. Boutin, Manager of Water, Wastewater Services, to talk to us about the door-to-door water solicitation. And you're going to touch on a good news story, I hope. Going to make reference to your good news story? Good.
First of all, I have to thank Mr. Cookett. He's asked me to come before the council tonight to speak to this particular activity that's going on through town. We're going to talk about the door-to-door sales of water filtration systems throughout town. Certainly, it's not unique to Fort Erie. It's happening throughout the region. And just how we should or have responded and what the opportunity for our ratepayers and our customers is if you've been subjected to some of these unfortunate circumstances. So just some background here. Like I said, this has been going on for many years. We've got feedback from our customers that various companies changing names from month to month and week to week are coming door to door. And with a lot of high-pressure sales, high-pressure sales tactics, they're almost pushing their way in the door, misrepresenting themselves in a lot of instances, in so much as they say that they're a government representative, or even have, we've got some feedback that they say we're here with the town of Fort Erie in providing some false and deceptive statements and saying things like, your water is unsafe to drink, you have to have the system in your home, and one day every home in Fort Erie will have a filtration system. So certainly that's out there. We're looking to get the word on the street and what we can do about it. Further, some of the misleading tactics that are coming back to us. If you look at that top right graphic there, you can see that looks like, to me, a highly skilled licensed operator that's doing a legitimate chlorine test. And what that pink change in color in the water is indicating, yes, in fact, there is a disinfectant residual in your water that makes it safe to drink. These misleading tactics, people in your home are telling you when it turns pink, it's unsafe to drink. Certainly that's unfortunate. The bottom picture there is a jar test, and actually I had the opportunity to invite them into my home and conduct this test. And that's a simple grade 9 science experiment. The glass on the right is a glass of water that's been treated through a reverse osmosis system. So essentially there's nothing in the water, no minerals, no nothing. The water on the left is a glass of tap water that includes all kinds of minerals that should be there, your zinc and iron and manganese and stuff that's good for you. But when you introduce electricity into the water, it turns those minerals into this colored solution because of the introduction of electricity, and of course an opportunity then to say, what a graphic representation that your water is unsafe. Quite the contrary, that's not it. Another test they'll do, I don't have a picture of it, it's called a TDS test, a total dissolved solids test. And again, that particular water test does nothing to indicate safe water or not. So how do we respond to that when a call comes into the town? I'll talk about a few things, what we wouldn't do, what we would do, and some whys. Certainly we can't do this. We can't offer up any public defamatory comment on any company, despite this long history of reported allegation of questionable and unprofessional behavior. And we can't throw our ratepayers under the bus and simply say, oh my God, we can't do nothing for you. And I'll talk a lot about that in the whys. So what we would do, we're trying to educate the consumer. All kinds of press releases. I want to thank the papers and the Times for picking some of that stuff up. Our IT friends have tried the social media, both Twitter and Facebook. Word of mouth, I can communicate to my staff, tell all your friends, your family that this is out there. In this particular forum, again, I want to thank Tom for having me here, just to further educate the people, get the word on the street, what we should do and why. So why should we do this? Certainly this activity discredits what we do every day. Our quality management system for our water utility stresses that we're here to deliver safe drinking water. And again, priority C of council is strong customer service. This is not new to a lot of staff here. It's been that way forever, and we continue to demonstrate that we'll reach out to them as we can. So this case study that I'm going to go through is intended to, again, further get the word out there, and if anybody has been exposed to it, you do have opportunities and you have rights under certain legislation. So we got a call from a while back. This is a very recent case from a customer of ours, and she advised, yes, she did, in fact, read the Times and saw the press release that indicated that these people are out there and be cautious, but she was too late. She had recently signed a contract with them, and they had some equipment installed within her home. So I conducted a site visit to her home. She's an elderly senior, quite embarrassed, annoyed, and confused as to what really she had entered into. So she gave me some of the specifics of her sales pitch, and it's things I had heard before, the high-pressure sales tactics, and I looked at some of the equipment that was installed in her home. She had an under-the-counter reverse osmosis system put in and a water softener installed within her home. So during that visit with her, again, there was some high-pressure sale tactics exercised on her. They did, in fact, do a misleading water sample test for her. She indicated to me they did the chlorine test and told her water turned pink, and that was a bad thing. And unfortunately, they convinced her to enter into a contract rental agreement without disclosing the full terms. What she signed up for after I started to review some of the paperwork was $80 plus tax a month for 10 years, to the tune of $10,800 commitment. Again, some additional fraudulent statements were forwarded to her. They indicated that your water bill is going to go down with this new equipment, so will your gas bill. So at this point, I'm a little bit confused in grabbing the information from her because she gave them no check, no credit card, or no cash. So I thought this was unusual. She has all this equipment in her home. So on her contract, she had provided them with her Enbridge gas account, and I found that kind of unusual. So I said, let me take this with me, and I went to look into it. So back to my desk, the first call I made was to Enbridge and said, come on, tell me that you people aren't affiliated with these people that are executing this questionable behavior. And of course they said no. So I said, well, then why the account? And they said, well, unfortunately, Enbridge is legislated to allow third-party service providers to use their billing platform. So simply to caution customers, if they get into your house, all they need is your Enbridge gas account, you just sign a contract, and you're on the hook. So further looking into what we can do here, under the Consumer Protection Act, if you sign on to a door-to-door sales solicitation, you have 10 days to get out of the contract with no questions, no answers, just, I'm sorry, I'm out. So we assisted the customer in establishing her first registered letter. In contacting Enbridge, there's the opportunity for a customer to contact them through this email for the ombudsman@enbridge.com, and you can simply put a hold on the debit of your gas account until the issue can be resolved. So unfortunately, in this situation, these companies know what they're doing. They refused this particular customer's request to cancel because it had been 12 days since she signed up. So we took it a step further in this case and went back to the consumer protection page, and you have to file a formal complaint with them, but you can't do that from a customer's perspective until you have formally contacted the company in writing. So we've done that with letter one. Now they can fill out a formal complaint through Consumer Protection Ontario. We established letter two, and further legislation in letter two said that if you feel that this company has misrepresented themselves in any way, provided false and misleading statements, you have 12 months that you can get out of the contract. So we're taking this avenue now and figuring this will probably work. So good news story here. 2 days later, that company got their second registered letter, and I got a call from the customer, and she said the equipment has been removed and the rental agreement has been terminated. She expressed her sincere expression of gratitude to us for helping her out in this miserable circumstance. So in conclusion here, I can't say enough that we're trying to educate our consumers, be informed, be vigilant if you're being pressured by a high-pressure salesperson to get in your door. I've had some dialogue with the regional police. They support the town of Fort Erie and us protecting our customers from the fraud perspective and them feeling uncomfortable or pressured into any kind of door-to-door sales, so they get it. Further dialogue with my friends at the Ministry of Environment. They've struggled for years on attempting to build a case, if you will, to prosecute these people. They're not allowed to conduct a water sample test in your home. It's against provincial legislation. So to all of our customers, if at any time you have an issue with your water quality, contact us. We'll certainly provide a highly skilled, licensed, trained operator to attend your home and take care of any kind of water sampling that you may need. And I just want to add this, there's been some talk at the region and as well in Fort Erie. A lot of us are following the press here on the lead issues that are in Flint, Michigan, that most unfortunate circumstance. I can tell you and assure you, all of our customers in Fort Erie, you can rest assured that our lead sampling protocols, probably the strictest in the country, if not North America, have yielded lead results far below any regulated standards. There's no lead-related risk to our public health or drinking water supply in Fort Erie. So that will be the end of my presentation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Boutin, and thank you for going above and beyond the call of duty. This isn't the first time that we've heard that you've taken these additional steps to assist a resident. We want to thank you. And we know that your staff as well has gone out of its way in difficult times over the past few years. You're not the only one in the municipality that in the town administration that goes above and beyond. But certainly bringing this forward will be of great assistance to seniors, in particular in our community. I take it that some of the information that you've provided to us has been put on our website?
We have currently have a press release on the website. It talks about our dialogue with the police. And there's all kinds of strategies out there. I got another call 2 days ago from a customer on Helena Street. He's an 88-year-old senior, and this particular strategy was they put a scratch ticket in his mailbox and said, if you win, call this number. They came into his home, did the spiel. Unfortunately, he had his wits about him and told him to beat it. He just wanted his free prize and get out. So, I mean, every time there's a new tactic that comes around, but I encourage the public to call us with any kind of detail, because the bigger we build our case, the greater opportunity we have to keep them out of town. So if they can do that, it'd be great.
Great. Thank you. Do any members of council have any questions or comments? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. Mr. Buchanan, are there any circumstances where a Town of Fort Erie Water Wastewater employee will show up at somebody's residence unannounced for whatever reason?
No. If our staff shows up, historically it's by appointment only.
And if somebody were to show up and somebody had questions on the spot as to whether or not they were from Fort Erie for whatever reason, what's the best way for them to corroborate that?
I'd say a call to Town Hall.
Okay.
If you have any question of a suspect vehicle or somebody alleging to be a Town of Fort Erie employee, certainly call our CSU group and they can get a message to us if, in fact, there is somebody that's legitimately there or not.
And through you, Mayor Redick, I'd also like to express my thanks to you, Mr. Buchanan. I was fortunate enough to be in the CAO's office when Grant briefed us on this situation, and it's hard to encapsulate within an 11, 12 minutes slide presentation, the amount of work that Grant had to go through to pull this off. But I'm hoping that once word gets out that they will pick somewhere else to set up shop, because our staff won't tolerate it, and they will definitely go to the end of the wall to help our residents, and it's very much appreciated.
Thank you. That's our goal.
Any other councillors? Councillor Zanko.
Thank you. I also want to thank you, Mr. Buchanan. I know you and your staff do an exceptional job keeping our water clean. Just to elaborate a little bit on Councillor Passero's question, and when you had mentioned that residents should contact Town Hall if someone does show up at their door, these gentlemen actually have been at my house trying to do the same water pitch. And I just want to note that it's normally done after hours, so the Town Hall isn't necessarily open. Would it be fair to say that obviously don't allow anyone in your house, and if it is legitimately a town staff worker, an appointment would then be made?
Yeah, I agree. If it's after hours and they feel contact with the town, we have 24-hour service that they can call our answering service, the same phone number, 1600. But on an after-hours event, in the suspicious nature of that, our friends at Niagara Regional Police would take the call in a minute and say they would respond and shoo the people away.
And it's not likely that a municipal employee would show up without a municipal vehicle.
Absolutely not.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Mr. Buchanan. We appreciate it. That takes us then to Reno Mastacci, and he's the Commissioner of Planning and Development Services at the Niagara Region, and he's going to talk to us about the region's growth strategy.
Good evening, Mayor Radicop.
Good evening. And who's your assistant?
And Brian Dick. Yeah.
I'm good to meet both of you.
Always indebted to Brian for supporting me.
Well,
yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So good evening, members of council, Regional Councilor Nunziata, town staff.
Let's talk about the future of Niagara. Population growth can enhance Niagara's economic prosperity by creating jobs, helping our young people to stay in the region, and making transit more cost-effective. A key to growing our population...
Getting ahead of ourselves there. Sorry about that. Yes, so thank you. It's great to be back. Some familiar faces, some happy new faces. That's great to see. So really, it's my distinct pleasure to appear before you tonight as a delegate. So thank you for allowing that. For the record, my name is Reno Mostachi, and I'm the Regional Planning Commissioner. And I'm here to speak about Niagara 2041, which is the region's growth strategy, as the name implies, to the year 2041, which is an update from the current growth strategy 2031. So the purpose of my delegation tonight is simply to provide an overview of the growth strategy itself, speak a little bit about the process that we're engaged in, and of course to respond to any questions that the town council may have. I have a short 5-minute video which I'd like your indulgence if we could view that, and then we can go into the Q&A. In terms of context, I did want to inform the town council that the region, when it was subsequent to the last election, it adopted a very focused strategic priority focused on fostering an environment for economic prosperity. It's almost a singular objective of the regional council. And as part of that, they adopted four specific outward goals. Those goals are: one, moving people and goods, and we'll speak about that a little bit later. Two, fostering an environment for investment and entrepreneurship. Three, preparing a labor-ready workforce, which is really about bending the curve on the region's Ontario Works caseload, which is a bit of a problem for us. And four, positioning Niagara globally. Inwardly, and this is also important, and I'm sure you're seeing the impact of this, inwardly, we want to do business differently in terms of how we engage our stakeholders, both public and private sector stakeholders. And of course, we're committed to organizational excellence in terms of the services that we provide. So in response to this, the Regional Council directed that the Planning Department's work program include five very specific projects. Those are, as Councillor Annunziata referenced, a unified and aligned response to the coordinated plan review, which we are moving forward with, and we're awaiting feedback from the province over the next couple months in terms of our submissions. Two, the Go Hub and Station study, which is underway and in process in terms of solidifying the location and functional elements of four GO stations in Niagara. We have a target, number three, we have a target of 10,000 new Niagara residents by the year of 2018, and so we're on track to achieve that. Four, an expedited development approval process for projects of regional economic significance. And five, global attractiveness. This is an opportunity for us to recognize that future population growth will be from outside of Niagara and positioning ourselves to be a welcoming community in terms of the diversity that will be part of that growth trend. So again, that sort of gives you a little bit of insight in terms of what the region is, sort of the direction is in terms of growth. It's really focused on economic prosperity and supporting the growth agenda. Over the last couple months, the region has received a number of reports and updates related to this growth strategy. And as I mentioned, it's all under the umbrella of Niagara 2041. And as part of that, Regional Council was very specific in terms of asking that planning staff and I attend to all the local area municipalities to deliver some information and to respond to some questions. So it's been my distinct pleasure to speak to most of the councils in Niagara already and to gauge that feedback. So on that note, just again, we're really committed to being fully transparent and aligned with respect to our growth agenda. So on that note, I think if I may, I'll start the video.
Let's talk about the future of Niagara. Population growth can enhance Niagara's economic prosperity by creating jobs, helping our young people to stay in the region, and making transit more cost-effective. A key to growing our population is gaining private sector investment. This growth won't just happen all by itself, though. We need to make it happen. In order to make it happen, we need a strategy that's collaborative, innovative, and nimble. So what does Niagara's growth situation look like? Well, the province has forecasted Niagara's population growth over the next 25 years. Between 2011 and 2041, Niagara is projected to gain almost 170,000 new residents and 80,000 new jobs. But here's the problem. We're not on target to achieve those goals. While neighboring communities are growing at an average of 1 to 3% per year, Niagara's population growth rate is significantly lower, around 500 people per year. To keep pace, we should be growing by around 6,000 people per year. We need to do better. So, Why are we growing so slowly? Well, let's start with a bit of geography. Niagara is part of the Greater Golden Horseshoe, which happens to be the 13th largest economic impact zone in the world. That's great news. However, Niagara is on the edge of the Greater Golden Horseshoe, and that can make us a bit isolated from Toronto, where most of the action happens. This is a clear directive for Niagara. We need to improve our physical connections to the rest of the Golden Horseshoe in order to share in its growth. This means expanding transit options, like GO trains, in and out of Niagara, improving connections to GTA business communities, and attracting foreign investment. We need to be proactive in establishing Niagara as a receptor of this growth, instead of letting other communities reap all the benefits. Tapping into the Golden Horseshoe's economic powerhouse that is Toronto could open up huge potential for economic growth in Niagara. But what would Niagara look like if we were able to access this growth? If we're able to achieve the projected growth rate targets the province has set, we could see growth that's 3 times greater than that which we've experienced over the past 25 years combined. As population growth rates rise, so do employment rates. This growth will be focused on our urban centers, provide a wide range of housing options, and make it easy to walk or take transit to meet your daily needs. This would also save our valuable agricultural land and make development more cost-effective. Oh, and it would also create jobs. We have a clear opportunity to reignite Niagara's economy through business development, new housing, and infrastructure investment. So how else can we drive growth? Within Niagara, our communities are growing at different rates. While some communities are expected to grow faster than others, and that's okay, all of our communities need to be business-friendly and make private sector investment easy. This means we need to look at all of our policies, procedures, and processes to make sure that high-quality development is easy. That is the only way we can compete with neighboring regions like Hamilton or the GTA. And make no mistake, we are in competition with other Ontario municipalities. When businesses are considering investing in our communities, they're looking for business-friendly development policies and a talented workforce. Those top talent individuals are looking to live in areas that provide an urban experience with access to arts, culture, medical services, recreation, and nightlife. We need to work smarter, faster, and more proactively to seize these opportunities. That means planning proactively, reducing risk, investing in infrastructure, and being customer-focused. So we know we need to improve our connections with our neighbors and become more business-friendly. But how exactly are we going to do this? Enter Niagara 2041. Niagara 2041 is the region's coordinated growth strategy, composed of a series of plans that will ensure Niagara is ready for the next 25 years. The Transportation Master Plan will look at how we currently travel in and around Niagara and how we can improve our transportation systems. It'll look at roads, transit, active transportation, airports, and goods movement. The Water and Wastewater Plan will ensure Niagara has the pipes, pumps, and facilities needed to provide critical water and sewage services to our growing region. The Municipal Comprehensive Review will look at the land we have available across Niagara to ensure we have enough to sustain our expected growth. The review will also direct where that growth happens. Through these plans, we'll be able to understand the nature of Niagara's expected growth and how it applies to our urban vision. We'll also create teams to help drive these plans forward. All this work will guide revisions to the Regional Development Charge bylaw and inform the development of the new regional official plan. But we can't do this alone. We need the help of Niagara's municipalities, business communities, and not-for-profit to make this a reality. With your help, we can create a Niagara that seizes opportunities for growth, that's nimble and responsive in its business practices, and that fosters an environment of economic prosperity for future generations to come. Visit niagararegion.ca/2041 to learn more about how you can get involved.
Mr. Dasher, before you continue, do you have some idea of how long you will be? I'm not asking because I'm not interested. I think we're all very interested in what you have to say. But you know the rules, and you're at 11 minutes so far. So if you can tell us, and we can extend the
that
time.
That completes my presentation, Your Worship. It's Q&A
questions
time.
Just questions?
Just questions.
Thank you very much for the information. I've seen that video 3 times now. And I'll tell you, the one part that concerns me is the balloon graphic that shows growth and how those balloons keep getting bigger and bigger. I think we're being invaded by aliens. Maybe you could turn that off. I think I did this once before this meeting. Yeah. If you just look at the staff. That balloon graphic, I think, is problematic because I don't think it's accurate, and I don't think it's reflective of what the future actually will be. I think, and I know that I've heard other comments about it, and I know that it wasn't intended to be scientific. It's terribly unfortunate, though, because some of those communities will blow up if they keep growing at the pace those balloons are going. So I don't know how much this particular YouTube video plays as we go forward. I know that it's been played to kind of get us moving in the direction that we're going and kind of explain what it is that the region is doing. How much longer are we going to see those balloons?
Until I complete the roadshow, Your Worship. If I may, the data to support that is actually found in the Municipal Comprehensive Review Phase 1 report, which breaks it down in a little bit more detail. As I said, our communications team put that together as an illustrative piece. It's not scientific. It's simply identifying which communities are growing at a faster rate. It's not a quantum of growth. It's the rate relative to their base population.
Still a misleading graphic from my perspective. Do any members of, in any event, the whole exercise is very good, and I must say that the meeting that I was at, business planning session last Thursday, was probably one of the best regional council meetings I've ever been at. Now, that's not a very high bar, I must admit, but I thought it was very productive, and each of the councillors that spoke, and there were most of them, had something very constructive to add to the discussion on this particular topic. So that was quite a good meeting, and I thought your answers to some of the councillors was very good in terms of your approach and how the region is moving forward to deal with planning for growth and the employment that's required. So you're to be commended on that. Any members of council have any questions? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to
Mr. Mustachi.
Mr. Mustachi, thank you. I have a few questions. That was a really good presentation, by the way. But I have so many questions, but I'm going to reduce it to just a few. First of all, you know, your presentation says that in 2018 you're going to meet the 10,000 new residents, and that we have a slow growth of residents per year going forward. But really what interests me is the attraction of individuals with skills and the lack of the skills in the region. Are there any plans for better skill training for those individuals that are currently living in the Niagara region?
Thank you for that, and through Your Worship to Councillor Butler. As part of there is another project I alluded to, five projects that have been assigned to the planning department. There's actually 25 projects that the regional council has set out. One of them is youth retention and retraining. So there is a project team specifically looking at those that challenge with respect to retaining youth, training youth, transitioning people from their current skill set to new skill sets. What we do know, though, is that in the period since 2008, there's been a significant reduction in manufacturing type of employment, as you would know, throughout the region. And the only growth areas in terms of employment have been in the education sector, in the health sector, and in the public service. And while that's not sustainable, it probably gives us a bit of insight in terms of the future sort of skill set that the residents of Niagara are going to need in terms of the knowledge work, the knowledge base employees. And so there's some effort in terms of establishing relationships with Brock and Niagara College specifically to look at strategies to support that.
Through you, Your Worship. That's very interesting. However, there are a lot of displaced individuals through no fault of their own, as you're aware. Many of them 35 years and up, who are having great difficulty finding work in the area. So what's of interest to me is that you're targeting individuals to relocate to the Niagara Peninsula, which is, you know, wonderful. But at the same time, we're missing the boat here, and tapping into Brock University and Niagara College's is great, but there's a lot of red tape involved in that, and it takes years before a course is developed for those individuals to be retrained and to be self-sustained. So I'm wondering if you're looking at something that may be even better than that at this point, you know, collaborating with government officials to bring some funding down into the communities and to start a center of excellence that doesn't require Brock University or Niagara College, but mainly heads of different private sectors that can collaborate and provide that training to the individuals that they need for their businesses today and going forward, since they're screaming for skilled individuals as it stands. Any plans for that?
As I said, there's it's not one of the planning services projects, but certainly one of the other project teams is looking at that, and maybe that could be a future future presentation in terms of the effort that we're putting into the existing labor force and transitioning to an economy. What we do know, as I said, is that manufacturing we're holding on, but it's a steady decline. So there really does have to be a significant effort on, you know, reimagining the future economy of Niagara.
I agree. And through you, Your Worship, I was reading an article that one in five individuals that are employed are employed through the government agencies. So that's a big number in my estimation. What type of private businesses are you going to be targeting to bring into the area?
Well, that's a great question through you, Your Worship. So as part of what we do know, that population growth in and of itself is a driver of employment, specifically professional services, health services, financial services. So there's a component of population growth, sort of employment, that's a function that's derivative of population growth. And that's what I've been tasked with, is identifying the key sort of opportunities that could drive that transitional new type of employment. So those are the areas that we're really focused on: professional services, financial services, and health services.
Councilor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. A couple of more questions, if you don't mind. Which communities will you be targeting for growth within the Niagara Peninsula?
The communities that have the highest, I would say the best market potential to support that growth. We're seeing that generally right now it's primarily in West Niagara, certainly Niagara Falls, Niagara-on-the-Lake have a lot of interest in terms of new development. Fort Erie's not so bad. I think you've done a really great job in terms of promoting growth, being proactive, focusing on investing in the infrastructure that eliminates barriers, the business practices that are streamlined and support growth. So Fort Erie is in better shape than most of the communities in Niagara, other than the northern communities. And, you know, this is straight talk, so, you know, it'll be a challenge. The growth strategy is really looking at land supply. You know, at the core of it is the land supply base, because you do need land to support growth. And the communities, ironically, that have the highest potential for medium and short-term growth also have the most constrained land supply. So that's the challenge that we have in terms of addressing.
And what's your commitment, or the region's commitment, to the community of Fort Erie to ensure that there is a level playing field within the Niagara region to attract businesses to this area so that our residents, our constituents, have a better ability to be employed locally?
So I think, and that's another great question, Your Worship. So what I would say is that on the residential side, you probably have an adequate supply of residential land. Just from what I recall, you have a lot of options. You have a lot of great neighborhoods and communities. Where there might be some work and rationalization is on the employment land side. I do know the challenges that you have in terms of bringing forward, you know, marketable, shovel-ready employment land. So we will continue to support the town in that effort. We recognize that and support that.
Thank you. And Your Worship, one final question. What is the region's intention to reduce hydro for the existing businesses in the Niagara Peninsula, and what kind of lobbying are you pursuing at this point?
That is, again, it's something that there is a task force looking at that. This thing won't stop talking.
Turn it off then. Pull the plug.
Sorry, there is a group looking at that. It's not my group specifically. I believe the regional chair has a task force looking at that. And again, we can provide that information back to you. But we do recognize that it's a problem because we're selling electricity cheaper rates in the U.S. than we're generating here. It's a problem. It's an inequity.
I'll go to members of council.
Well, just to follow up on that, and that is part of our BEC Power initiative that we're working at Bob Seguin and the economic development. So we haven't had too much traction on that at the provincial level yet, but that's still something that we're advocating for and trying to push the province to move towards that BEC Power initiative model.
Councillor McDermott, did you have your hand up?
No.
Any other councillors? Mustachi, just to follow up on comments made by Councillor Butler, questions asked by Councillor Butler, and they were all very good questions, and they were particularly good because they were difficult questions. And this is the early days of discussion at the region, because the questions will become more difficult, the answers will become more frank, and part of the difficulty from my perspective is Fort Erie. Going back to the balloons, Fort Erie has two corridors, two economic corridors or gateways. One is the Queen Elizabeth Corridor, which leads to the Peace Bridge, which is the second busiest border crossing between Canada and the United States. And the second is the Niagara GTA East Corridor, which also is a gateway, so defined by the region. So I do hope that as we're going forward, the regional staff does not forget that we're at. Don't lose the opportunity to take advantage of that. Second point relative to your comments regarding the industrial lands, it's very true that we have been detrimentally affected by the PSW mapping. You're familiar with that because you were here when it all started in 2004, and we will be looking to some long-term assistance from the region, just as some of the other municipalities have received, and I'm quite confident from your comments that that will be forthcoming. Any comments or questions coming out of councillors arising from my comments? John, thank you very much for coming out. I know that Mr. Dick was feverishly making notes there, presumably all very positive towards Fort Erie as we move forward. So thank you again for taking the time to come and see this. We look forward to you coming back as this starts to unfold.
All right. Thank you. Again, have a good night.
That then takes us to the consent agenda. And Councillor Butler, did you have an item that you wish to remove from the agenda?
Yes. Thank you, Your Worship. I would like to request that we remove 2B.
10.2.
That's 10.2, yes.
Okay, so we will do that. Can I have a motion then against Councillor McDermott to a motion to approve the consent agenda items with the exception of 10.2.2B? We'll get that on the floor. Unless there are any other items that anyone wanted to remove. Okay.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler. The Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended. Save and accept 10.2.2B.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to the items in the consent agenda? For all none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor Butler, then, would you like to present a resolution with respect to item 10.2.2B?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. That Council supports the resolution of the City of St. Catharines urging Via Rail and the federal government to restore effective Via train service in Niagara, and further, that Council directs staff to notify the City of St. Catharines, the Niagara region, and the other municipalities within Niagara.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to that? All those in favor of the resolution? Sorry. You don't have a seconder. I'm sorry. Would like to second that, Councillor Passero. Okay. It's on the floor now, properly constituted with the seconder. All those in favor? Unopposed, that is carried. That takes us to responses to inquiries. And Mr. Cooka, did you want to, do you have that? Madam Clerk, would you like to review that? Because we agreed that since inquiries are made by councillors, we would also have the responses read out. So could you proceed with that, please?
That is correct. Thank you, Your Worship. This inquiry came from Councillor Lubert, who was asking about whether or not a member of council who was absent from a meeting where an item was discussed that they would have had a conflict with would have to declare the conflict at the next meeting. I did not have the Municipal Conflict of Interest Act before me at that time, but I did consult it and can respond that indeed the Act is quite explicit about when the existence of an interest must be disclosed, being prior to the consideration of the matter at the meeting. However, when a member of council is absent from that meeting where they would have declared a conflict if they were present, they must disclose such conflict at the next meeting following where they are present, and it would be captured in those minutes accordingly. And in the written response is the actual section of the Act that is applicable.
Right, Section 5. Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. That takes us then to new business a question on the, yes, okay.
Thank you, Your Worship. To Ms. Bubanko, I just wonder if you could just clarify for me, so it's the actual next meeting or the next, even if it's a council and committee meeting, you can still share that conflict of interest?
It says the first meeting of the council or local board after the meeting at which the councillor was absent.
Yes, therefore, through Your Worship, it would be the same meeting that you missed. So if it was a council meeting that you were absent for, it would be at the next council meeting. If it was a committee meeting, it would be at the next committee meeting.
Anything else arising out of that response? Okay, that takes us to new business inquiries, and Councillor Lubert, you have a resolution with respect to the first item.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that Council accepts the resignation of Suzanne Craig, Integrity Commissioner for the Town of Fort Erie, and further that Council directs that the office of the Integrity Commissioner remain vacant.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to that resolution? All those in favor? Unopposed, that is carried. Councillor Passero, you have the next resolution under new business?
Yes, thank you, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council appoints Brad Grunton to the Bridgeburg Station Downtown Business Improvement Area Board of Management for the period ending November 30th, 2018.
Any questions or comments with respect to that resolution? All those in favor? Unopposed, that is carried. Councillor Zanko, you have the next resolution under new business.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero. The Council appoints Ross McLean to the Fort Erie Active Transportation Committee for the period ending November 30th, 2018.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? Unopposed, that is carried. Are there any inquiries by members of Council or items of new business? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to acknowledge publicly the passing of one of our committee members from the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee, Mr. Joe Morlock. Very sad, a devastating loss to the committee. Joe was a dynamo. Many of the events that committee done were single-handedly done and spearheaded by Joe himself. I know he'll be missed by not only our committee, but also the Legion, St. Vincent de Paul, and the Knights of Columbus. Was a great active man in our community, and very sad only because last Monday he was here to encourage two of his friends in council chambers when they received their recognition for their long-standing contribution to our community, and we lost him just days after that. So I just wanted to announce that publicly. Great loss to our committee and a great loss to our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other, Councillor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I guess just an inquiry as to earlier when Mr. Boutin was here, I didn't quite understand when the question was asked about these people selling the water, door-to-door water sales or whatever it is. And I think it was Councillor Zanko asked about them being in the evening and it's after hours. And we have our dispatch service on call after hours, so they take that. And I'm just wondering, do they handle this, or is this something that we should discuss with them and make it a policy so that something like this can be handled by them over the phone?
I presume that if there's a call, they would forward it to the appropriate individual. Mr. Walsh is going to provide some background information.
For you, Mr. Mayor, we have an on-call person after hours 24/7. Excuse me. If a call came into to our dispatch, that call would be forwarded through to the on-call person, who could then yay or nay that we have somebody in the area. If I could offer some clarification, the only time I would think that town staff would be knocking on somebody's door unannounced after hours is in the case of an emergency, a water shutoff or such.
Councilor Lubritz?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. So this will all be taken care of. That's all I'm worried about is, you know, a lot of people at the door knowing that, well, it's after hours, you know, the town's closed, I can't call the town. We need to encourage them to call the town, and whoever it is that answers will definitely direct them so that they can have this handled. Thank you.
Mr. Cook, perhaps we could also make sure that something of that nature is on our website. I don't know that that's going to help a lot of people. If they don't have a computer, that won't be very helpful. But the message was that if you have any questions and you can't get anyone from the town of Fort Erie, then call the police. Any other inquiries? Then that takes us to motions, and Councillor Nutt, you have a motion.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko. Whereas the Town of Fort Erie Strategic Plan is focused on three pillars, one of which is a prosperous and growing community. And whereas to the end, the Town of Fort Erie is dedicated to developing and implementing an effective integrated waterfront and tourism strategy. And whereas both the Town of Fort Erie and the Niagara region have identified as a priority undertaking the creation of enhanced marina and resort development at the site of the current Niagara Parks Marina near Miller's Creek on the Niagara River. And whereas the concept of such a development has been under consideration by the Niagara Parks for over a decade. And whereas the NPC is engaged now in the process to determine the extent to which the existing marina should be repaired, expanded, enhanced, or complemented by an adjacent resort development. And whereas one of the concepts most closely resembles the type of marina resort development favored by the planning staff of the Town of Fort Erie and the region of Niagara, and is most reflective of the expectations of those individuals who have participated in the public processes regarding this issue, as well as the community at large. And whereas, through her mandate letter to the Ministry of Tourism, Culture, and Sport dated September 25th, 2014, the Premier of Ontario identified as special priorities for the Minister of Tourism, Culture, and Sport, supporting culture, heritage, and tourism agencies and the attractions to maximize their economic and social contributions to the province, supporting the tourism sector's economic growth, encouraging collaboration among tourism industry partners, and attracting international investment. And whereas there is an apparent market for a marina resort development on the Upper Niagara River in Canada, and whereas the obvious and most advantageous site for such a development is the MPC's marina site, and whereas studies have shown that the creation of such a marina resort development of an approximate mass at a cost in the excess of $200 million could generate over 1,110 jobs and over $400 million in annual operating spending over a five-year period, and whereas such a development could result in significant annual revenues for the MPC through commercial arrangements with the private sector proponent of such a development, and whereas such a marina/resort development would also attract additional tourists to enjoy the beauty of Niagara. Now, therefore, it be resolved that, one, the Council of the Town of Fort Erie heartily supports A full-scale marina/resort development at MPC's marina encourages the MPC to continue the process to bring about such a development without delay. Two, to that end, the Council of the Town of Fort Erie directs its staff to continue to work collaboratively with the staff of the MPC in the region of Niagara to facilitate a request for proposals by the MPC for a marina/resort development as soon as reasonably practical, and therefore with any party or provincial ministry involved in the implementation of such a development. Three, a copy of this resolution be forwarded to the Niagara Parks Commission and the Ministry of Tourism and Culture and Sport. Four, a copy of this resolution be circulated to the Region of Niagara and area municipalities in Niagara for support and the Niagara MPs and MPPs.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? Did anyone wish to speak to the motion? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I'm just curious as to when we're moving this forward through the region and through the province and everything. I see here that we're directing staff to work and collaboratively with MPC in the Niagara region. And I'm just curious as to, I don't see anything here where we're requesting that our Economic Development and Tourism Corporation is involved. And I mean, we just passed a budget item where we're giving them $640,000. And to my end, this is falls directly under what they're mandated to do, economic development and tourism. So I'm just wondering why they're not included in this.
Well, that's a very good question. And you know what? I assumed that the town staff included the EDTC, but perhaps because it's a separate corporation, that should be clear. That should be specified. So perhaps this could be amended to the second paragraph that council directs the town, council directs the staff, including the EDTC, continue to work collaboratively. Have any issue with that, Councillor Nutt? You're the mover.
I have no issue, and I was under the same impression as you. Since we do provide a budget to them, I do consider them part of the town staff.
All right.
And not a separate entity, but we can definitely specify it to include the EDTC.
And so that would mean that this would be amended. I'm going to treat this as a friendly amendment, assuming that the seconder is in agreement. Second paragraph would read, to that end, the Council of the Town of Fort Erie directs its staff, including the EDTC, comma, and then continuing on. And the seconder was Councilor Zane. Madam Clerk, we're going to treat that as a friendly amendment. Councilor Lubberts, does that help clarify that?
Yes, thank you very much. And if I can just go a little further with that. With the previous council in February of 2014, at the February 10th meeting, a similar motion was brought forward. Now, I understand at that time, the Warren Dack was the proponent of the project, and council put forward a similar motion to notify the ministries and everything that we would like to see this happen. And since then, in 2015, of October of 2015, NPC has had a meeting in October of last year. They had their meeting, and they did put a request for information. And I'm just wondering, what's the status of that request for information? Is this where we're at now with this motion?
So the Niagara Parks Commission is in the process of moving through a new process regarding this marina. That all began, as you indicated, last fall. There's three steps to it, the first of which was a request for information. The Parks Commission will move through what's called a request for qualifications, or that would be a request to see who's interested and qualified to embark on this type of project and who's continuing on, and following that, there would be ultimately a request for proposals issued by the Parks Commission. So it's a new process, and that's why presumably the new showing the municipality's support for the Parks Commission to keep moving forward with that process.
So basically what we're doing here with this here motion is just supporting what the Niagara Parks Commission is doing currently with their October meeting and moving forward.
And urging the Parks Commission to continue on without delay, correct?
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Any other councillors? Call the question. All those in favor of the resolution? Friendly amendment, so it's not really as amended. None opposed, that is carried. There are no other motions. That takes us to notice of motion. Are there any notices of motion from anyone? Being none, that takes us to consideration of bylaws. Does anyone wish either of the bylaws removed from the package? And Councillor McDermott, I would ask you to proceed with first and second reading of the bylaw package.
Thank you, Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that the bylaw package containing 23-2016 to adopt the general capital budget and the general levy operating budget for the town of Fort Erie for the year of 2016. 24-2016 to deem a certain registered plan of subdivision not to be a registered plan of subdivision. Benjamin Hanchar, 384 and 386 Cherrywood Avenue, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Opposed, that is carried. That bylaw package is on the floor for any questions or comments by anyone. There being none, then I'll ask Councillor Lubberts to provide third and final reading for the bylaw package.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicott. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaws number 23-2016 and 24-2016 are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. Councillor Butler, you have the next resolution.
Yes, Your Worship. Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that bylaw number 25-2016 to confirm the actions of Council at its meeting held on February 22, 2016 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. Mr. Zanko, you have the next resolution.
Yes, I do. Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that bylaw number 25-2016 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings, and I know there are some meetings coming up. Councillor Zanko, we'll start with you, and then Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. We have a street naming committee meeting held here on Wednesday, February 24th at 5 p.m. And it's at Town Hall.
Room that's in?
I believe it's committee room one.
Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor Redicop. Two meetings tomorrow. First, Museum and Cultural Heritage Committee is meeting at 10 a.m. here at Town Hall, committee room number one. And later in the day, the Accessibility Advisory Committee is meeting at 4:30 p.m., also in committee room number one.
That's February 23rd. Okay, any other meetings? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. The Ridgeway BIA has changed the date of their monthly meeting, and it will now be held on the 9th at the Legion at 5:15.
March the 9th?
March 9th, yes, hard to believe. And also we have a CDS meeting, not a CDC meeting, on March 3rd, 2016.
Thank you. Yes, Councillor Zanko.
Just to make correction, the street naming committee meeting is being held here in conference room 3.
Any other meetings? Okay. That takes us to Councillor Nutt, which is always a good sign.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council adjourns at 7:29 p.m. to reconvene in a regular Council meeting on March 29th, 2016.
All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you all.